AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at AM570LASports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
Okay, second down and nine.
My bad.
Muy hombre, a lot of men.
We cannot make decisions that cost the team and then come off the sideline in this nonchalant.
Look at him, he's crazy.
Lightning bolt! Lightning bolt! Lightning bolt!
LeBron James?
You said it, man.
There is no truth, only perception.
Petros and Money, AM 570 LA Sports, live everywhere on the iHeart Radio app. Same spot. You can hear UCLA basketball tonight, 6 p.m. tip, 5:30 pre. We're off early. Started early. It was a flex alert today. Got on at 2 p.m. That's why we debuted a new feature slash moniker slash stinger.
Hopeful Music at Noon.
Welcome to Hopeful Music at Noon.
Is the new flex alert.
When we flex, we become Hopeful Music at Noon.
Let's talk to James Worthy, Matt. Before we get into anything else, you can podcast our whole show and stream it live on the iHeartRadio app. But let's go.
Now, Pete, it's time for a conversation courtesy of our friends at your Southern California Ford dealers, home of the best-selling vehicle in all of California, the F-150. Check out all the great deals available at buyfordnow.com.
Who is the hottest team in the city of Los Angeles? Is it the Lakers? Taking on the Greek Freak? Is it the Clippers? With another victory and the Paul George Revenge Tour, as it's been called? Is it the UCLA Bruins taking on Cal tonight with a tip-off at 6? Give Cates a call at 8:30.
Is it U.S.? No.
USC ain't bad, but they did just blow one to the Beavs. Joining us now, a guy who never blew it to the Beavs, because he played in North Carolina. Come on and raise up. A champion at so many levels. But here we know him as a finals MVP and a man whose number hangs in the rafters. And many generations know him also as the Spectrum Sportsnet LA voice of reason and the analyst for the Lakers. One of our dearest friends, the immortal James Worthy on the Petros and Money Show. Check him out on Spectrum. He'll be getting ready to be on the air in a few minutes. What's cracking, James? How are you?
Petros and Money. What's happening, man, on this another day of paradise?
It's a lovely day here in the city of Los Angeles. There's no doubt about it, especially if you're a hoops person and you look around and they're piling up a lot of victories. No doubt about that. But you've been on a lot of great basketball teams that had championship aspirations. Does it really matter if you're running really well this time of the season? Is it better than not doing well? What do you think?
Well, it's definitely better than not doing well.
Good. That's good to know.
It's good to be, you know, it's also good to be trending in the right direction, you know, in a couple of areas, particularly the defensive effort is pretty good. There's been a pretty good increase percentage efficiency in their three-point shooting. They've been playing well on the road with no crowds to have an impact on the game, which is, you know, I think probably, you know, they slipped in that last game against Golden State. But, you know, they've been on the road with the best record. In fact, they broke our record from 1987-88, I believe. We had 6 in a row. But, you know, when you look at the Houston team, you know, they were kind of in a little funk with Harden being unstable. And then Oklahoma, it was a young, inexperienced team. I think San Antonio gave them, you know, a little bit of competition. Now they go out on the road, you know, with a little bit more stiffer competition. So, you know, I like what I'm seeing. They just have to continue to trend in that direction. You know, defense, rebound, get the fast break going, hit the threes.
Last time you were on, the Lakers had just humiliated the Rockets for the second straight time, and we asked you, how you and your teammates would deal with Harden and the way he was behaving, and I think in not so many words, I don't want to put words in your mouth, you said, well, we'd have kicked his ass, is essentially what you would kind of intimated.
Or at least threatened to do so.
He has since been traded to the Nets. Your thoughts of the Nets potentially being a serious roadblock for the Lakers to repeat as champions?
Well, the way I think, I respect the talent. I respect the trio and the job that Steve has before him to make that work. But I don't deal with roadblocks until I get to it. So I just kind of like worry about what we do and the additions that the Lakers have made that have been, pretty good themselves. It's not one James Harden type of player, but when you look at Schroeder and Montrose Harrells and, the players that they've had, that they've added, Wes Matthews, I kind of concentrate on that. Now, if it gets to the point where we're with Brooklyn on the finals, or when we play them in regular season, yeah, you got to be concerned about that. Durant's an amazing player, Harden, who also is a willing passer, and I think he's mature enough, that he'll go into that situation, understanding that there's three dynamic scores, one of them is going to have to be. So Harden's capable of getting anywhere from 10 to 18 assists a game if he wants. So at this point, it looks pretty good. I don't know what the roadblock is yet until I get there, but you have to really respect and consider who they are now with that addition.
James, have you seen enough? Have we seen enough games to kind of buy into some of the shooting that you got on this team? I mean, look, we know that KCP was their best three-point shooter last year, unless Danny Green got hot. But, I mean, he's shooting darn near 55%? Caruso's banging threes all over the place. Do you think that's sustainable, the clip that those guys are connecting from deep at?
I do. Because it's something they've been working on for at least 3 years. I remember the Lakers were seeking and searching for three-point shooters, bringing in players here and there, not enough time to incorporate them into a system. With full years, LeBron healthy, AD coming in, last year, really, helping to mold a style of play. So now when the ball's inside the AD, he demands a double team, the defense has to collapse, you're getting different kind of threes now. You're getting some uncontested, some with your feet set. Caruso's been working on his three. Last year he hit one or two every now and then. The offense, LeBron posting up, you got to double team him. LeBron going downhill collapses the defense. It's the way they're running their offense now is that they're getting easier threes, and the fact that they have been, putting up thousands of shots, now it's starting to really flow well for them. I mean, you look at Kuz, you look at what Wes Matthews can do once he lights up. Caruso, I mean, Schroeder, he shoots the threes. And then you got AD and LeBron. So finally, after a couple of years and the style of play and the way they're getting them now, they're easier, and the bucket has a tendency to look a little larger when you're getting nice shots at.
The bucket looked huge when James was playing. James Worthy joining us right now on the Petros and Money Show. Lakers getting ready to tip off in Milwaukee in a few minutes. A start of a 7-game road trip, a long road trip where they're going to be in a bunch of empty arenas. Just like at Staples. How do you like the way they've kind of assimilated just the NBA in general into that? Obviously, you want to get fans back as soon as possible, but has the competition suffered in this regular season type of vibe? Not in the bubble in Florida, but traveling and doing your stuff in other arenas that are empty.
Yeah, it's a disadvantage to the home teams. Who depend on that crowd. I know when I make a dive on the floor, a big dunk, whenever I had a crowd or Jack or Denzel, you feed off of that as an athlete. That's what you played for ever since you were in the YMCA. You know, seeing your parents go crazy over a shot. It's a part of what athletics are. So when you take that away, I mean, the players have simulated some type of action on the bench. LeBron taking a shot, turning around while the ball is in midair. I see all the teams have somehow cultivated some type of fanfare amongst themselves, but it's you know, it's difficult. You know, and outside the bubble, I think Memphis, maybe Florida, Texas, allowing some fans in, you know, into the arena, players traveling. I just heard today, I think, I'm not confirmed yet, that Memphis is canceling, you know, two or three games because of COVID protocol. And so outside the bubble, you know, you're just like everybody else. You know, you go to the grocery store, you got your kids going, you know, if they're going back and forth to school. It's almost like you have to put yourself inside of a bubble in your own house. You know, don't see your kids, don't see you. You can see them from a distance. But, yeah, outside the bubble, we're going to run into the same issues that all the essential workers, all the frontline workers run into. That's what the NBA is outside the bubble.
James, they just saw the Warriors, a heck of a fourth quarter rally by the Warriors to get that win, and a lot of it spurred by shooting from Steph Curry, and a lot of conversation this season because he looks like he's back to his old self, his MVP-level self, about the challenges of guarding Steph Curry and what he presents and what a unique player he is. When you kind of think about, you know, when you were playing and some of those matchups and opponents you would have to try to game plan for, what do you make of Steph and kind of what he's done to the NBA and those challenges that Frank Vogel and LeBron and that staff has got to figure out when they get into a contest with him?
Yeah. He's got some nice, you know, young, exciting players around him, too, along with Draymond Green, who seems to be in a teaching mode. They just want to make the playoffs. And if you have a game where it's close, I think Steph was like 2 of 10, you know, before he reached the fourth quarter. And I heard Reggie Miller on TV say, look, he's not going to stop shooting. He's going to keep shooting. And sure enough, when getting crunch time, he can close. You can't stop him. He can't be stopped. Okay? He comes across half court. You know, he's shooting the basketball. Those drills that he does before the games, behind the back, through the legs, all that stuff, that allows him to, you know, create space for him to get his shot off. He knows how to get to the cup. He got stronger upper body. He knows how to get to the cup. He had a play against the Lakers the other night where he was going to the cup against one of the best shot blockers in the game, AD, and he knew how to put his body, you know, up against AD to take away his verticality, and he got a plus one. So you really have to trap him, get the ball out of his hands. But when you take it out of his hands, to me, is when he's most dangerous because he moves without the basketball. You take your eye off of him for a second, he's gone. And he's gone into a space where he can receive and shoot. So you really got to – I mean, he had a poor shooting night in the first half. But you really got to do it by committee, you know, trap him, be ready to switch, make him drive most of the time. But he's so good at taking two or three dribbles to drive, stepping back. He did it another move on AD where he had him at the three-point line, faked the drive, stepped back for three, and it was one of the biggest shots of the game. So, you know, you really have to do it by committee. No one player is going to get it done.
Well, you always get it done for us, James. The great James Worthy, ladies and gentlemen. There's only one, and he joins us on the Petros and Money Show on AM 570.
Yes,
we always appreciate it. A little Coleman Hawkins for you on the way out, James.
Yeah, baby. Roll, Mr. Hawkins.
Good luck against that big Greek.
You got it, baby.
Brought to you by your Southern California Ford dealers, buyfordnow.com. Big thank you to James Worthy. He joins us every week.
We'll be right back with Three Things Thursday on PMM.
AM AM
570 LA Sports is your home for the UCLA Bruins. The 24th ranked Bruins are in Berkeley to take on the Cal Golden Bears tonight. Tip off at 6 p.m. following Petros and Money on AM 570 LA Sports.
How am I not myself? Petros and Money Show is on the air. Happy to be with you on AM 570 LA Sports, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app, getting you warmed up for the classic UC versus UC Bear versus Bear matchup. Same fight song and all.
I do think you are those things.
Well, they are both those things. UCLA and Cal are both UCs, and they have the same fight song.
You could apologize to me like 20 times last time.
No apology necessary, although there has been some tussle over the fight song over the years. Mick Cronin and the Bruins, by the way.
I never want to hear your name or see your face again.
Well, you better get used to it. He's successful.
Darn right.
6 o'clock right here on AM 570 LA Sports. But right now it's time for Three Things Thursday.
Roll it. One, two, three.
This is Three Things Thursday.
We start, don't necessarily, Ole, we are not your press release show of record. Your one hand washes the other. Hey, agency, send us a presser and we'll take your goods. We try not to be.
We try not to be that because, but you know, if somebody sends out a press release and saying they're putting out a new thing of Garbage Pail Kids, we'll carry that water. Yeah, for sure.
You send out a press release saying, hey guys, you want a forest lamp? From here at Lamps Plus, then okay.
Yeah, we'll take
it. It's forest lamp. It's an interior lineman. We're okay with that.
You want us to wash up Marty Cove? We'll do it.
Good guy alert. Someone who's a friend of the show, friend of your other show. We love Austin Eckler here.
Yeah, he's a regular on the challenge. Great story, great back.
One of our favorite guys on the team.
And I got to be honest, you know, just as a football type, which I am, man, is he impressive. I mean, there's a lot of really impressive backs in the NFL. But it's the new cool thing to say, short space quickness.
Yeah.
But just his lack of, I mean, he just doesn't waste any movement. And he always goes forward, and he's got such a great attitude. He's strong as the day
tough
is long.
Tough as hell.
Yeah.
Does not go down at first contact. Very personable, engaging when we've had him on the show. Loves talking shop with the media. No issues there. Great story. Like you said, Western State, undrafted, made the team in the last preseason game.
Had to go work in the mines.
Was going to go work in the mines.
Stayed out of the mines, Matt.
Turned into one of the best all-around backs in the NFL. One of the two or three best pass-catching backs in the NFL, and young.
Well, short area quickness.
He's very twitchy. So to have the maturity.
He's got a suddenness.
To already not only have his foundation, which you can find at AustinEckler.com.
Well, we watch his squat videos. Of course, he's got a great foundation.
Yeah, and I think it's...
I mean, his foundation.
Oh, well, his foundation, by the way...
Very strong.
Funny you bring that up, because that's the foundation of his foundation. His foundation. His literal foundation of his person.
I think it's fair to say that if he lost his foundation, the foundation would also go under with it.
Probably. It's the figurative foundation of the Austin Eckler Foundation. Because if you follow him on Twitter or Instagram, as you just described, you know. He wants to climb under a lot of weight.
He doesn't like to miss leg day.
He does not. Because when the pandemic first hit, remember he was sharing his workout routines from his condo. He wanted all of those followers to know, hey, I don't have access to a gym. I don't have a private gym in my million-dollar home. Here I am in my condo doing legs and cardio, jumping around on chairs, doing dips between dressers, trying to show you folks, hey, you don't have to get fat and out of shape. You guys can stay in shape with just a bunch of household goods. Watch what I'm doing.
This is what I was going to do in the mines.
This is what I was going to have to do. I was going to be forced to do this. So what an awesome announcement he and his foundation made today about his foundation's first big donation. The first big project for the Austin Eckler Foundation was announced today. And I hate the term on brand, but because his foundation...
You ever watch the On Brando on Instagram with Tim Brando?
No, but I hear they put a lot of work into it.
You spend a considerable amount of time making sure that thing is just right before it posts.
Sun goes down and you're still doing on Brando.
So here is Austin Eckler with the announcement on Instagram and Twitter about the first big donation that his Austin Eckler Foundation is going to make.
Hey everyone, I know the season is over, but the hard work still continues, which is why I'm extremely proud to announce that the Austin Eckler Foundation is launching its first project. I partnered with the Hutton Parker Foundation, Sonos, and Perform Better to fund a gym for Santa Barbara High School. You know, I recognize that there's a lot of people that were like me growing up, just motivated, hardworking, and had some talent, but maybe you're in a situation where their community or school has limited resources. You know, I've always used sports and working out as a means of self-improvement, which has ultimately led me to where I am today. And so with this gym, I'm hoping to help hundreds, even thousands of young kids develop confidence, improve their health, and achieve their goals. This project is going to impact kids' lives for years,
provide opportunities for kids to better themselves.
We've already had some amazing
squat rack
support and donations from fans and community members. Shout out to the starting squad. And if you guys are also looking to help, I'd really appreciate it. You guys can go to austineckler.com/donate to help out for future projects and this one as well.
There it is.
Thank you guys.
austineckler.com/donate.
Santa Barbara, huh?
Santa Barbara High School.
Could have got Oprah or Dennis Miller or the Randall Cunningham to chip off some bread or something.
1875, one of the oldest high schools in all of California. It has been on its current plot since 1924. 2,200 kids, over 55% Latino, storied athletic program, a number of CIF championships, but their gymnasium has found its way into disrepair.
Much like Aloha Stadium.
Much like, maybe that's next up for the Austin Eckler Foundation.
Oh, that's a hell of a, you have to have some serious squatting ability to squat that weight, that bucket of bolts.
He told beat writer Gil over there at the OC Register, quote, "This is going to be for a wide variety of people, athletes to non-athletes. It's not all big weights. It's more for education. There's some gains, some muscle gains to be made for sure. But keep in mind, the freshmen that come in, they're only 14 years old. So there's going to be some iron. But there's also going to be some other things." He said he's actually replacing the floor, putting in a whole new system, sound system, weightlifting equipment.
What's his connection with Santa Barbara?
None. I think they just maybe reached out to him and said, "Hey, can you?"
What about Lock High? You know, can we help out?
That's what I'm saying. That's part of the motivation here.
Yeah, where's the love for Fremont?
You know, the Pathfinders
sure could use a gym.
Was it that had to borrow the football equipment? Remember the high school that had to?
Crenshaw.
It was one of the maybe like Baldwin Park or something like, they had to like get a bunch of secondhand football equipment so they could get a football team going again. Just reach out to the Austin Eckler Foundation. He wants you to exercise. He wants you to throw some weight around. That's the foundation of his foundation, is improving your person's foundation.
Plenty of high schools here in this county.
Austin. Exactly right.
What else you got, brother?
Let's go to pressers, number of pressers today.
Well, we had Coach Staley on for ourselves.
Had
we
had Coach
our own,
Staley on.
We had our own presser, Matt.
Let's cast a wider net. When it comes to Three Things Thursday, let's find our way to the Motor City, where a former NFL tight end.
I saw some reaction to this.
Took over the world of social media for a little while. I'd say a good 2-3 hours. People were having some fun with Dan Campbell.
Like Ballmer yelling, "Hardcore!"
Basically.
Cool.
He is a former tight end, playing days, actually played for the Lions for a couple seasons. Former tight ends coach turned interim head coach for the Miami Dolphins when old Joe Philbin was fired, if you remember that.
Yes.
And he has since been the tight ends / assistant head coach for Sean Payton and the wildly successful New Orleans Saints last 5 years.
Nothing to sneeze at.
A lot of times you hear the term, especially here, you often cite, can you win the press conference? Step one in a hire. Did you... You're going to get those sweet pieces written about how awesome your hire was
right
from the local media. You know what I believe? This guy's got me ready to run through a brick wall. You're going to get that type of reaction.
Kevin Sumlin won the presser.
How did that go?
And then it was a nothing burger.
Exactly. And that happens sometimes. People in Detroit, I don't know if they're sure if he won the presser or not. Some people think Dan Campbell won the presser. Some people think he really lost the presser. But I guess for those that aren't paying close attention to off-season NFL head coaching press conferences, specifically in the Midwest, upper Midwest, greater Detroit area. Here is what you missed with Dan Campbell's introduction today.
This place has been kicked, it's been battered, it's been bruised, and I can sit up here and give you coach speak all day long.
Oh,
I can give you you know, hey, we're going to win this many games. I can't, that none of that matters, and you guys don't want to hear it anyway. You've had enough of that. So excuse my language. All right. Here's what I do know is that this team is going to take on the identity of this city. All right. And the city's been down, and it found a way to get up. All right. It's found a way to overcome adversity. All right. And so this team's going to be built on, we're going to kick you in the teeth. All right. Okay. And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. Okay. All right. And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down. All right. Okay. And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before okay. long, we're going to be the last one standing. All right. That's going to be the mentality.
Well, you know, honestly, Matt, that's how they talk in front of the team. You know,
I just said the kneecaps. That's
how they talk in front of the team. He took it to the press room, which I'm sure in Detroit is a lot better than, hey, just have some respect for yourself.
Yeah.
Just almost slumping down.
Slouch. Why are you slouching there, slouchy? Never mind my disheveled beard, my backwards cap, my pencil that doesn't even work, and my
gut
that's hanging out of my sweater.
What I like to hear is that you're taking kneecaps.
That's my favorite part. We're going to take, can I selfishly request that one more time? I'm sure you've heard it a million times in your life, but I never had the opportunity to experience this. So I get a little, I am now privy to these sort of conversations.
Oh, I've heard the whole, you know, yeah, like, hey, you know, what we're going to do is, you know, we're going to go into their house.
Okay.
We're going to take the lights out. We're going to take their mom. We're going to slap her. Then we're going to take the TV. Then we're going to take the passport.
Okay.
And then we're going to allocate their funds.
Is that what we're going to do?
And then we're going to use, then we're going to put on our tennis bracelet. We're going to dance around in your daughter's ballerina outfit. Coach? Man, I'm going to eat your peanut butter. I mean, I swear I've heard it all.
We're going to kick you in the teeth.
Okay.
All right. And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down,
oh, you like that?
We're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. All right. And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down. All right. And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap. And we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing. All right. That's going to be the mentality.
Well, you got to keep getting up. I mean, I don't know how you take out both kneecaps on the other guy standing. That's hard.
He's not. He ain't going to knock you down. Yes, Kate.
Somewhere Matthew Stafford's like, holy crap. I've already taken concussions,
I had
knees, spleens.
Yeah, who's gonna take all the revenge for all of these kneecaps? Me, Matt Stafford, and my fat face.
All right, here's my whole thing, right? So what you're going to do is I'm going to kick you in the teeth.
This is basically who we are, guys.
And then you're going
to... Two shots the second time to get up. Three shots the third time to get up. The first time you get up, you take a kneecap. Second time, you take the other kneecap. Third time, inconsequential hunk.
I can't get enough of it. Hey, how'd you think it went? I thought maybe you could have cut her off at one kneecap. I don't think you had to get knocked down three times. Probably could have just got knocked down and then taken the knee on the way up.
You certainly made an impression, Coach.
Also, by the way, Dan Campbell is referenced as the dude. And his placard, because he does look a little bit
It looks like Jim Thorpe.
He's got... the dude was not an athletic individual.
I don't know if that's necessarily true. He's a great bowler.
Speaking of Matt Patricia, his posture.
They
way
won the championship. I mean, at the end of the Big Lebowski, yes, they won it all.
They did. It's bowling, though, and I think you've probably seen some of his office for the head coach of one of the 32 teams in the NFL says Detroit Lions head coach Dan Campbell / the dude.
All right. Well, things are going in a certain direction.
He was pretty funny, though. He joked and he said he told his agent to tell NFL teams he was Matt Campbell in order just to get an interview. That was kind of funny.
He came with some comedy, some self-deprecating humor, and some figurative violence.
We appreciate that.
This is what we're going to do. We certainly do. So thank you for that, Dan Campbell.
All right. Well, we'll be back with more PMS on AM 570. That was your Three Things Thursday. Coming up, Dead and Alive Guy birthday of the day, and you can sponsor it. Till Surf City comes back.
Yeah.
AM 570 LA Sports.
AM 570 LA Sports is your home for the UCLA Bruins. The 24th ranked Bruins are in Berkeley to take on the Cal Golden Bears tonight. Tip off at 6 p.m. following Petros and Money on AM 570 LA Sports.
We'll be right back with more PMS after this hour for just like another 20 minutes. And then you will have UCLA taking on Cal tonight. Tip off at 6. Right here on AM 570 LA Sports. And remember, stick around. Tim Kates with Bruin Talk. Flood those phones like you did for the last game.
Flood them. Flood them.
But first, the dead guy birthday of the day.
Dead guy birthday of the day. Actual name, John Batman.
Oh, yeah?
And it's Australian news.
Not Batman?
Interesting point.
G'day, mate. It's Pip, and this is Petros and Money's Australian news.
Aussie-born, Aussie-raised.
You're going to want to bring in another song, aren't you, here, Matt?
John Batman. I am. Now, his name, in fact, his parents' surname was Bateman. His father, William, got booted from England in 1797 on the ship Ganges, thanks to Pops. Billy being caught with some of that there stolen saltpeter, the main ingredient to make gunpowder. So criminal stock is what John came from.
Well, it makes sense.
Let's set the tone. Let's get that audio backdrop. Mom got to go along as a free passenger along with her two kids, but Johnny was born there. On one of the early farming settlements, once Pops got out, changed their name to Batman to try and shed his convict past. Got his ticket to leave.
You know, that'll do it.
Right?
Because you're obviously anti-crime.
Are you William Bateman? No.
No, I never heard of him.
Bill Batman. Young Johnny at 20 was like, I'm out of here. This place sucks. And he went to what was then called Van Diemen's Land, which is now Tasmania. And he made his bones by...
A lot of Australians duck out in Tasmania. Like a lot of people in the States duck out and pump gas in Honolulu. Or at least that was...
Aussies go to Tasmania.
An 80s thing. Yeah, that's the spot. Down in Tasmania. Down in Tasmania.
He captured notorious... This is exactly how it was written. Cannibal bushranger Thomas Jeffries.
Okay.
The Cannibal Bushranger. Bushranger was the name that Australia gave to those convicts that escaped and went to live in the bush off the land, fallen out so they could remain free. Caught Thomas Jeffries, caught a second bushranger, not a cannibal, Matthew Brady.
Well, that's always a plus.
Just a straight murderer. Jeffries, serial killer, cannibal.
Not a plus.
Barry, just a murderer. Turned him in. Government was like, good on you. Gave him a whole bunch of land, a whole bunch of money. Public hanging for Jeffries and
Brady.
Good to
know that things are illegal, right? In Australia.
Batman celebrated for his efforts.
He's just like the real Batman.
Right?
Anti-crime.
Unfortunately, this is the part of Wikipedia where Batman turns into a bad guy.
No. Bruce Wayne has demons.
Black War of 1830. Tasmanian Aborigines. Yeah, I think you kind of know where that's going. A lot of killing. A lot of, I'm going to take these kids.
But he got those cannibals, though.
He got the cannibal. I'm going to take these kids because they should be raised with clothes and in homes and not the way they're being raised right now. So I'm just going to scoop them all up and place them in houses with all these English criminals that are settling out here.
Sydney.
Yeah. Just outside of Sydney. But how about this? On June 8th, 1835, he wrote in his diary, quote, "This will be the place for a village, and I shall call the land Batmania." Batman's treaty.
I mean, he was like years before Tim Burton.
Right? Negotiations with the Aboriginal peoples were peaceful.
And Bill Finger.
Now Central Victoria. They took place in June of 1835. Support of the Aboriginal companions that he had befriended, believe it or not, from New South Wales and Van Diemen's Land.
They didn't get mad about the killing and the stealing of the children?
I think it was hard for that news to travel. So I think he probably just failed to disclose that.
Sorry, Batman.
He set up the treaty with the Kulin peoples on we get your land. They're every pretty, year I give you 40.
They're pretty cool.
40 blankets, 30 axes, 100 knives, 50 scissors, 30 mirrors, 200 handkerchiefs, 100 pounds of flour, and 6 shirts.
200 handkerchiefs?
That was the annual payment for all this land. The town would not become Batmania, but Melbourne.
Melbourne!
This is the man that founded Melbourne.
And that is where the Australian Open gets started, around February 8th.
Batman got syphilis in 1833. 1835, crippled, disfigured, his nose had eroded, his wife left him. That's what it sounds like. He was quite the monster. They said they carried him around in a wicker basket.
My God, what is that thing?
That's kind of what it sounds like. His name has pretty much been scrubbed from a lot of spots recently. And there is still a debate about whether or not to tear down his statue in Melbourne.
Why? Because of the Tasmanian children?
Yeah, I think the sweeping and the killing and the taking of the children.
Didn't he pay for it with his nose?
I mean, it's and crippled, disfigured, crippled, and carried around in a wicker basket at the end of his life.
Well, Matt, beating out LA Kings goalie Jonathan Quick, a.k.a.
Quickie.
I got Australian news as well.
G'day, mate. It's Pip, and this is Petros and Money's Australian News.
Yeah, run it back.
Why not?
But we're going to Australia, but we won't stay there long. Got to go back to Korea at some point to explore the South Korean-born Australian actress, Jun Ryo Won.
What? Okay, wait, no. South Korean.
Well, okay.
But Australian born?
Okay. Born in Australia.
Okay.
Hard time assimilating into Australian culture.
Gotcha.
Born to Korean parents. Did face discrimination in Australia.
Just like our David Vasse.
And those Aboriginals with Batman.
Exactly right. I feel like they got it the worst of the bunch.
Do you? Because Vasse couldn't drink.
Exactly, couldn't get into a bar. Terrible.
She
thirsty.
She went to Griffin University in Brisbane, home of the Crack-a-playas.
Crack-a-playas.
Home of the Batman's nose.
Crippled and disfigured.
And we got, look, Australian Open starting up next month. A lot of Australia talk here. But Matt, she went back to Korea on a student exchange type of deal, and she was very popular there.
That's good for us.
She joined a pop group. This is them. Chakra.
Chakra. Okay.
And then she transitioned into acting, which is great for today, our show.
We got two prongs.
Well, and hopeful music at noon.
Right.
Because, we're flexed back, and from now on.
Hopeful music at noon.
That's us. In 2006, she started acting, and she does have good titles, Matt. She is publicly Christian. But that doesn't stop her from acting in all kinds of different things.
Okay. You saying we could perhaps find her on the pages of the Korean installment of MrSkin.com?
I don't know. Is there one?
I don't know.
Because I'd like to see it.
Me too.
Okay.
Just for research purposes.
Thank you for the K-pop. Are you ready for some titles?
Let me make sure. I am ready.
The magic power of alcohol.
Not necessarily out of the ordinary, but just an awesome time.
Yeah,
I mean, I can get behind that.
To go, bungee jump.
Didn't see that coming.
I guess we could all fall under this umbrella. Kind of sad when you think about it. History of a salary man.
Salary man.
Death of a salesman.
Yeah.
Sounds like.
I would say that's very likely what it is.
Now, this sounds more exciting. Of a life to live. Medical top team.
Medical top team?
Medical top team.
These are all Lost in Translation style titles. Medical top team sounds essentially like Chicago Hope or something like, I think yours. I think history of a...
Well, Matt, in real life, none of these shows are really that good.
How dare you?
How
dare you?
I mean, just like any network TV, it's schlock.
How dare you?
What, you think Chicago Hope is good?
History,
you think Chicago Fire is good?
History of a Salaryman is not a fine network program?
Well, I'll take a look. I'm not sure. I don't think Arthur Miller wrote it. Okay, ready?
You don't think.
Walk of Love.
Walk of Love? What? I can see the advertisement. Guy, gal, holding hands, walking in a park. It's a walk of love.
No. Walk. Walk of love.
Okay. Well, my God. I didn't know it was W-O-K.
Well, of course
it
is.
I thought it was walk of love.
No, walk.
A walk.
Like top walk.
Well, see, you always set these titles up. Why would you not set that one up? Like, hey, you better set the dinner table.
A cooking show.
Because, yeah.
Because I would have gotten the crickets, giving you time to think about it. All right, so I'm
you're batting 1,000.
I'm undefeated right now. I'll stay there.
What do you mean?
I'm going to stay there with.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you were just going to stop. Oh,
this is probably a great legal drama. Prosecutor Civil War.
These are good.
Thank you. And finally, Matt, Tomato.
TV show?
I thought I was going to go out like Marino or Breeze there, but hey, you know, hey! Look at that there.
Good stuff.
You know, I'm going to walk out of here.
Like
I'm going to walk out of here like I'm on the medical top team.